You can do it. The time is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys. As we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
You know, talk about just believe. This show is so much about just believing today. And you know what's interesting is I think we need to change the name of the show. Life Changes is becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy in the sense that every show is so different. And I myself have to go through this whole like, well, what do I believe? And this is different, and I'm having to go through my own life changes with every single freaking show. So anyway, and this is no exception. We are stretching. We are stretching today into something, and now for something completely different. We're talking about stretching. We're talking about real stretch, like real tall and real high and real big. We're talking about, in a way, we're talking about Sasquatch today, which is not normally what we talk about. But, you know, there's this friend of mine, and as long as I've known him for many, many years, the way he talks about Sasquatch is riveting to me. And I've heard this talked about on TV and seen, you know, footage and blah, 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 and seen it, you know, coast to coast and all that. And I've never liked about how it was talked about. I was interested, but it was always like this spooky thing and, oh, does it exist? And all that stuff. And instead, David always talked about it with this, like a connection, like feeling a connection with this potential being. So the last time I saw David, and he was talking to me about his experiences as a boy who grew up in a family of avid hunters, and he went camping with his dad and uncle in the High Sierras, and they actually got sound footage, actually some of the best sound footage of a Sasquatch or something. And he would let me hear, you know, the new stuff every time I'd see him. And, it just the last time I saw him, I thought, you know what? You need to be talking about this, because nobody talks about it like you. So my friend David Johnson, David Allen Johnson, has, come out to talk about this the first time publicly since he's had experiences with these beings ever since he was a child. So we want to know about a little bit about him and his experiences, and we want to know the connection that he's had. And so this is going to be a different conversation about Sasquatch or Bigfoot or Big Thing. When we Big Thing, maybe not that Big Thing, maybe just about. Anyway, so when we come back here on Life Changes with Filippo, you could be listening to us, of course, if you're listening to us at lifechangesnetwork.com. Or if you go to thejointstudios.com, you could actually watch us. And we can't promise you Sasquatch, but you'll get to hear when we come back here on lifechangesnetwork.com.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. An ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
It is Filippo, and we're back here on Life Changes with Filippo, and today we're talking about something completely different, and we're really, you know, just believe, really, like the song says at the beginning of the show, it's about just believe. And you know, so many people don't believe something, Mark, until it actually happens to them, you know, and I'm trying not to be that guy. I'm trying to believe people that I believe. And when they tell me
So
you and I both know I have some friends. We're not going to talk about you, but I have some friends that believe some really out there stuff. And they,
who could that be?
And well, you're thinking of one person in particular, and so not that, but no pointing. But I mean, but these people have had experiences that say they had this experience. And it's like, so when do you draw the line saying like, okay, I just don't believe you unless it happens to me. And some of this stuff hasn't happened to me, but some of it I want to believe because I want to.
There you go. I'm glad you got that off
your
chest.
I want to see it. I want to experience it.
You know, I have always been of the mind that everything's weird until it becomes familiar.
Yeah.
Even though, they talk about this cognitive dissonance, you know, from many of our friends. I have heard things that challenged, you know, my belief system.
Oh, yeah.
But yet it was interesting because I think even at the time I said
that you didn't believe
all of it. I didn't say that I didn't believe. I was open to it, but I couldn't process it at the time.
Good
I acknowledge
way
that it wasn't so, you know, to be in a certain place in this lifetime with only having certain abilities and not be able to access that was a challenge for me.
Yeah.
So either let's, you know, experience that now or let's put it away for a while until I'm in a place where I can, you know, process the reality of that.
And I'm saying bring it on.
There might be a little of this. Well, we'll need to get another really big chair.
For Sasquatch.
but I do believe, you know, this has been a topic that's fascinated me since childhood. And even though I had seen those kind of spooky.
Yeah, on TV growing
accounts
up.
And, you know, that same old footage that they, you know, still are, I think, I can't remember the name of it. I'm sure we're going to hear it in a few minutes, but that they show all the time.
Yeah.
Something inside of me always felt this to be more believable than, no.
Not like that.
Not like that. But this to be more believable than a lot of the other, you know, kind of spooky, you know, television-based theories or mysteries or whatnot.
You know, I just had this image. You always see him like this. There's one picture, and he's like this. I'm going to take a picture.
Italian.
No, that would be like this. So you know, it's kind of like, all right, so... Galileo Galilei, speaking of Italians, you know, who said the world revolves around the sun. And everybody said, you know, I don't believe. It's not true.
Everybody said
it. Right. Everybody said it just like that in Italy, because at the time the whole world was Italy. And everything revolved around Italy.
It's flat.
Italy is flat. So anyway, but, and then now everybody says, well, of course. Well, yeah, but just because they couldn't see it, nobody believed it, and you think, oh, they were crazy. Well, what if we're crazy not believing someone that says, hey, I saw a Sasquatch?
Well, this is what I don't understand why people take such a firm belief on everything that they're told or learned and not realize that that's just what they've been told or learned. You know, even when I was young, I realized that we were given science books and we were told exactly what the center of the earth is. But at that time, I mean, maybe it's a little different today, but at that time we couldn't drill but a mile into the, you know, the crust of the earth. And then you're telling me exactly what the center of the earth is.
Yeah. How did they know?
There's all these other accounts of what's inside the earth and what's, you know, the possibility of living in there. And well, I don't know, you know, you got worms in the crust and you got, you know, animals burrowing in and out. And
yeah, they're
what
living.
Else is possible? So yeah. I think theoretically everything is possible.
Right. You're scaring me. So, like, there are people down there are going to crawl out someday or something?
Well, maybe they'll walk out.
The zombies are... Okay. Well, and
no, they live on top of...
Oh, they live on top... Oh, worse. All right. So, so interesting, though, that we have our beliefs challenged. And I wonder if somebody, you know, like, what if people aren't playing with this? Like, what if somebody knows Sasquatch exists, but, you know, they play around with it because maybe Sasquatch is something that, you know, answers some kind of question that is beyond what somebody might want us to know. It's like, how could you not know, you know, with all the spying equipment out there, someone's got to know Sasquatch is there.
Well, maybe they have those you know, like the Men in Black thing. The memory
eraser. The memory eraser. Wow. Well, I don't know if we're going to get into that, but today we have my friend and our friend David Alan Johnson on, and he came all the way up so that he could be on here and for the first time talk about this, the first time at least I've heard, and I've been interested in this since I was a kid as well, talk about this in a way that talks about a relationship, not just a relationship that these beings, should they exist, have amongst themselves, but actually have with humans. And I thought, wow, what a great way to address this. So without further ado, well, he's done so many things, actually, but as far as this particular subject matter is concerned, he lived it ever since he was actually before, as long as he can remember. So let's just have him say it. David Alan Johnson, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, so if you'll turn the mic towards you so we can all hear exactly what you're saying.
Can you hear me now?
Okay. Yeah, perfect.
There we go.
Okay. So.
Interesting that you're talking about, you talked about the subterranean thing. That's actually a topic of one of the things they talk about in the past, possibility of the musty odor, the musty bad stench. The communication or the encounters that we had, there wasn't a smell that was associated with any of these creatures. But the musty odor and the bad stench, some believe there's a possibility that there is a cavernous nature to these creatures, where if they're down in the musty or subterranean areas, it could be very sulfur. So they come out with the sulfur musty smell. So there's just some, you know, theories that that's what that's attributed to.
Wow. And you heard that here first, probably. I never heard it before.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about first. When did you first experience this? So your father
this
and
is in the 70s.
Your uncle. Well, no, you personally, but way back when, your father and your uncle.
Yeah, my father, my uncle, Ron Moorhead, Bill McDowell. My father's Warren Johnson. My uncle's Lewis Johnson. They had a hunting camp they built back in the Sierras back in 1955. They'd been going to just every season to go hunting for bucks and deer. And back in the late 60s, early 70s, so they started encountering different kind of strange interactions with them. They didn't know what it was. First, it started in three-pitch whistles, things like this. They knew what grouse were, and they'd hunted grouse, but they had no idea what this bird was. Well, it turned out not to be a bird because as the creatures started coming into camp and making the vocalizations. At first, it was very raw. It was very aggressive, kind of like you're in my house, you got to leave. And the whistles started happening in some of this conversation as well, or some of this interaction. So they knew it was a creature as well that was doing these whistles.
Okay, so let's just paint a picture here, because this is not just like a cabin in Big Bear or something. This is in the High Sierras, and you have to pack. How far away?
Well, it's about 8 to 10 miles in from where the car sits. Where you're going, you're not getting back. It's a situation where you're either taking a horse in or you're packing 5 hours in.
5 hours of walking up to this camp that your uncle and father built.
And the shelter itself is nothing more than a wickiup. There's still 7 living trees in the walls of the shelter. The door is nothing more than a log on end with a rope tied around it. You know, it's a basic hunting camp. That's all it was meant to be.
So not much protection either.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Scary. All right. So here they are in this camp, and they start hearing what they think are bird whistles.
Along the trail in the mountains on the way up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There was whistles that always would frequent on the indoor coming in camp. Well, then that turned into actual creatures coming in.
Creatures coming in. Okay. Yeah. And it wasn't just like hogs or...
No. There's nothing like that up there. Not at that elevation. No. No hogs. No ostriches.
Well, what are they?
Tall, hairy hogs.
Yeah.
What are they hunting then up there?
They're hunting deer.
Oh, they're deer up there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is not deer a deer.
No. This
okay.
is not a deer.
Okay. No. I'm just.
No. I get you.
Painting the picture.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So the only thing that can live up there is deer and.
Deer, bear, the normal thing that you'd find at the alpine zone of elevation in the high Sierras.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Evidently, I don't hunt, so I don't know these things. So thank you for filling in.
No worries.
When we come back, actually, what your father and uncle did was they actually brought up recording devices.
Yeah, the group ended up bringing up recording devices and later brought in another man named Alan Berry. And they put some great things together over a period of years. And CC will hear some of that tonight.
Okay, yes. We're going to hear some of that actually when we come back. And were you there when they did some of this recording?
In the early stages, they did all the recording. I was there for the later stages.
Because you were just a baby.
I was a kid.
Okay. All right. And they didn't. And they wanted to keep you from harm's way. But when did you actually start going?
When I was about 10 years old. 10 years old. Yeah.
How cool.
So 73, 74.
Very cool. All right. So when we come back here on Life Changes with Filippo, we're going to be talking more to David Alan Johnson about his experiences and relationship with Sasquatch. And one of the first things we're going to do is we're going to hear some great sounds. So remember, go to lifechangesnetwork.com or go to thejointstudios.com where you could be watching us right now. We'll be right back after this.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeitel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, FILIPPO.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
Talk about real life in real time. This is Filippo here on Life Changes with Filippo, and I am sitting here with my friend Mark LeJour and our friend David Alan Johnson, who... is talking about all of this for the first time in public, and we're talking about Sasquatch. And technically, as I'm thinking about this, this has been a show that is like, well, first of all, since 1955 in the making, when David Allen's father and uncle and friends started building the cabin and experiencing some of these things. And then as far as he and I are concerned, I'm thinking, David, about the fact that we've had this conversation in San Diego, in LA, in Italy, in Canada, right?
That's right.
Yeah. You know, we've been everywhere we've been. We've always like we as performers, right, for different events and things like that. We're like on a bus going to the next thing.
The backstage chatter.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, listen to this.
Listen right, before right. We're about to go on stage, right. Like Filippo. So then, what happened was,
and then
we'd have to keep interrupting the conversation because we'd have to go perform or something, or we'd arrive. So here we are. We're actually finally having this conversation. Okay, so it set up, if you would, this clip that we're going to hear.
All right, the first clip that you're going to hear, and this is now the vocalizations already happened. So they finally brought up equipment. And what they did to try and trigger the recording device, they put some cans and a pebble underneath the stove that's up there. It's like a sheet producer stove. So they put a piece of Spam in a can with a pebble and then cans beneath. So they thought when they'd hear something pick up the Spam, the cans would fall into the cans, would wake them up in the middle of the night, and they'd hit the record. The reel-to-reels are on the inside of the shelter. The mics on the tree on the outside. Okay.
Okay.
But they heard it coming in prior to them picking it up. So the very first thing you actually hear are the cans falling and hitting each other. And then it's like the gig's up. And you'll hear this is a display, and early on it's more growling, more temperament, more aggression. I don't know how far we'll go with this particular segment, but there is actually a couple that come in later on, but I don't know how far we'll go.
So, okay, well, let's see.
Because there's some other ones to listen to that are great.
Okay, let's hear this. Okay, so what I'm getting out of this is he didn't like the Spam, or it upset his stomach, or something.
It feels basically like we were in his area. We were in their territory. This shelter was built in just open land, and this was the land that they reside in. So it's like, hey, what are you doing on my block? That was kind of the idea of what everybody came up with. This situation that you hear a little bit later on is another one comes into camp, and there's actual physical altercation between the two, and we caught that on tape too. That's a little farther down in the same particular one. It was like that in the beginning a lot, and it was one of those things that basically scared the crap out of you. I remember being as a boy very scared, putting the sleeping bag up over my head and waking up in a pool of sweat at night, and always waking up my dad, I hear something. Dad, did you hear that? Dad, I hear something. And between my father and my uncle snoring, I thought it was like a mating call for these creatures. But it's a situation where, I mean, hearing that tape, it's like, I love hearing that because it's just something that it happened so long ago. That was, I think, 1970.
Yeah, I was watching your face while you were listening.
Yeah,
you had this smile.
It never gets old. It's truly a gift. It was an interesting experience for them, and then for me later on.
Now, how much further is that altercation?
Push it up about maybe a minute, three. Let's see, where you at? But there's other tapes too that we can listen to that are very interesting. I mean, you want to get to it, you can. I think it's at 3 minutes and 35 seconds.
At 3 minutes and 35 seconds? Can
check it
try
there.
That see for us? There. So they're like fighting or something? Or?
What we think happened, because we had tracks from 26 inches. Okay, hold it right there for a sec. We had tracks over the years from 26 inches in length to 9 inches in length. We had, we were sure that there was an old man, a dominant one of the group. He spoke the most, he came in the most, he did the most. And we know that there was ones that stayed on the outskirts, maybe the watchers of the group. I don't know if you want to take alpha, omegas, things like that, or if it was a situation like gorillas would act, not sure. But one evidently steps over his boundaries and maybe comes in a little too close.
Is that where we are here?
That's where you're at here. And, okay. And there's a little bit of a altic. That's pine needles cracking underneath their water. Give it a minute.
Wait for it.
Wait for it.
Okay, and you said it builds even from there, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you feel, you actually hear blows being struck, and you hear the wind being knocked out of a diaphragm. It's in here.
Okay, so I'm not a big, you know, lions and tigers and bear guy, but
right. How
do I know this is not a bear? I mean, have I heard?
Well, it was sent to a University of Wyoming in 1978, and Dr. Curlin, he looked at the tapes himself. And after he analyzed them, he came up with the fact that the vocalizations were something that weren't human. The range of the creatures that they had was something that wasn't as of yet recorded. He thought that if the Sasquatch ever is proven to exist, that these tapes will probably be of high anthropological value. So, I mean, you can't say what it is, but he could say it wasn't anything else he'd ever heard or have on recording.
So you said they're not human, but are they animals?
There's a lot of characteristics that we think that there's a possibility there's something in between the two. I theorize that there are much more. There was many times in situations in the camp where it felt as though there was a knowing that they had that was beyond human. Okay, let me tell you, one of the experiments that the guys did in the camp, they would jump out of the shelter with their flashlights when these creatures would come in. They would make they pointed in the direction that they know the sounds were coming from. Every time they did this, in one particular experiment they did, the creatures would, they'd dart off. My dad came up with the idea of, when they come back in, let's go through the same action but stay put. Let's think of it in our mind, but we'll stay put when I say no. They came back in, they did the same thing, the reaction was the same.
They darted out.
They darted out, at the men never moved. The implications of that is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. So we don't know, but everything that was tried, and this might be one of the reasons that they're still so elusive, there is something inside them that might be inherent within their beings. If this is something that goes back beyond legend of thousands of years ago, that's been here since maybe pre-BC or, you know, dawn of man, don't know. You can go one way. You can say, is it just a Neanderthal that's eluded us for so long? Is it a species of ape like Gigantopithecus that never has been found yet, similar like the gorilla or the panda recently? Or is it something in between the two? Is it something from intelligent design? Is it a cross between man and something else? If you kind of go into the ancient alien possibilities, there's a lot of different ways you can go with this.
Wow. Well, when we come back, you have a clip of what, after many years of you going up there and your friends and parents or dad going up there and uncle and all that, it seems like maybe a relationship developed where they weren't as hostile or angry around the group. And so you start hearing different sound, like vocalizations of some kind of a conversation happening.
Yeah, I definitely want you to hear
so
this.
So when we come back, we'll listen to a different kind of a conversation that I don't think actually has been heard on air before. Certainly I haven't heard it, and I'm glad to be sharing it with all of you here on Life Changes with Filippo here. You can go to Life Changes Network and make sure you share this with your friends. We'll be right back with David Allen Johnson.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
There. We're back, and we're having such a great conversation during this break that here we are. So with that, we were talking about hearing. Now, as the years went through, there was a relationship developing where it sounded like the creatures or the animals, whatever it is, or Sasquatch, of course, was more comfortable with you all being in the camp.
Yeah, it turned definitely into a situation where there was an acceptance. A couple different examples of that. The shelter roof needs to be replaced every few years because it's just branch and fallen, you know, trees and anyway. So we'd have to do that over a period. The guys can't stay up there all week long. you know? So it's a situation where they've got to come up, you know, over a couple of weekends because of their own jobs, their own work, right?
Right.
So there's times when we've gone back and more's actually been added.
Wow.
You know, things like that. So you know you're being watched. Another example of this is I used to pick up pitch in pine cones for morning fires. That was kind of my job when I was there as a boy was I was, you know, go get the pine cones, Dave. Mm-hmm. I used to put them in like a little bucket and a little like a porcelain plate.
Right.
Well, this thing would be filled up sometimes in the morning if spam was left out. But
if spam was left out, okay. Well,
it happened like that before in the past. And there was horses up there many times during this when some of these vocalizations, even the early ones, the violent ones, interactions with the horses, they never bothered them. The horses never were spooked, never bothered them. You have situations where horse hooves and tracks were right there together. We would kill deer. We'd have deer hanging in back behind the shelter. They never took the deer. It got to a point where we would rake the bottom afterwards on the ground underneath where the deer was. You'd find tracks there. It would be a good place where we could cast print of it. They never took the deer meat. Wow. So the carnivore aspect of this outside of spam, we don't think they ever ate anything else. You know, maybe, an omnivore or herbivore, don't know.
Okay, so that's interesting. And again, I want to paint this picture.
And we could spend like 3 hours all night talking about this. I know we got to break this up, but you probably want to hear this next segment.
Yeah, I do want to hear this. So just to remind everybody, so you're parking 10 miles away and you're either taking horses in or you're walking for 5 hours just to get to the camp. So it's not like anybody's living up there.
And you've gone... You can't even get into camp 6 months out of the year. It's snowed and the pass is closed.
Right.
It's a situation where you're in the high Sierras.
Yeah, so if somebody's fixing your roof, it's not just some passerby being nice. I mean, it's something that's been watching
and
you.
You got to remember, too, this camp is a camp that you could walk right through it and not even realize.
Not even see
because
it.
Because it looks just like, a beaver's lodge.
So basically. You had a friend in Sasquatch. So let's hear. What are we hearing here?
Okay, so some of the vocalizations that we're not able to play tonight, you hear different patterns in the vocalizations. There is a particular young guy that comes in the camp this particular night.
Young Sasquatch.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and he's trying to be a badass. You can tell he's trying to make and mimic the big guys, but he just can't do it, and he sounds like he's so nervous he's going to puke. The guys are outside the shelter at the same time. This is all going on at night, and they're trying to coax him in. It'll sound much like, you'll hear my father and you'll hear Ron, and they're going, come on in.
So can they actually see him, or
it's always in the darkness, it's always away, it's always eluded, but it's a situation where they're trying to bring him into camp. Come on.
Because they can hear them.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. All right, let's play this clip.
And you'll hear the nervousness in the creature.
Okay. Okay, so you said we'll hear your father and your uncle. Did we hear them there?
No, you'll hear you.
Oh, later on, they're trying to mimic what they do. I remember hearing that myself.
Yeah, but not this one. They're actually just
that was just them.
That was just them.
That was just Sasquatch.
And did you hear
definitely a language?
Yeah. Yes. Exactly what I was going to allude to. In 2008, a cryptolinguist retired from the Navy. Went ahead and took these tapes and checked them out, and he definitely determined that this is a language that they're using as human definition of it. You know, so we knew this all along. We always knew that there was some kind of language to them, but we just didn't. You know, it's always been a thing. Like we know, it doesn't matter what you think; it's okay. But We know.
Wow.
It's always just been like more of a blessing. It's been a good thing.
Like you've known that you've had experiences with something
it's a brain experience. You got to expand your mind and wrap yourself around this. Is this actually happening? Is this actually, you know, coming to pass? Yeah.
David is open to having this discussion in a bigger way and has talked about expanding into conferences and stuff like that. So if anybody's interested in talking to David, or in sharing their experiences, or asking questions, you can go to Facebook and put in David Allen Johnson, just as it sounds, and Allen is A-L-A-N, David Allen Johnson, and you'll find his Facebook page, and you can befriend him, ask questions, and see where he's going to be doing this next. So I look forward to that myself. So tell us in the few minutes we have remaining, You have some theories that we talked about, and it starts with there are tracks. Oh, well, wait. Before that, you went up by yourself, actually, with some friends once, and real quickly experience completely different.
Yeah, we had a couple, Phil and Kevin and I.
Okay.
Going up there later on as a teenager on our own, we played a game up there. You know, we're young 20-year-old kids playing a game of, you know, chasing each other through the woods, basically. They had my dog, and I was running from him. My dog would run after me, and it was just like a little fun game. Well, Kevin threw a stick, and it hit me in the head, and it all turned real. And before you knew it, it was like rocks and sticks and climbing up boulders and jumping, you know, into a tree and then back and forth. And it got kind of violent, and Phil ended up falling in some white thorn cyanosis. So it kind of ended it right there. We went back to the camp. We're taking it out of his sides. We're taking it out of his shoulders. But that night, something started throwing rocks into the creek, and my dog started going a little wild. And Kevin's going, your dog's going to go. And I said, let him go. And Phil's like going, light the lantern. I'm trying. Let him go. Light the lantern. I'm trying. Let him go. And these rocks started getting louder, and right by us in the darkness, I can't tell you how close it was, but it was very loud. A large log broke, and then the chatter started going off.
Kevin, this kind of chatter, the Sasquatch sounds. Okay.
Yeah, and it was a situation where Phil had prior experiences different on his own. Maybe it was a link that him and I had. So, and me hearing this before, it wasn't a situation where I knew what it was, but Kevin was extremely frightened by this. We all got into the shelter. It quieted down. But he was ready to go the next morning. It was a situation where it was like, it was pretty hairy for him. It really took a lot of him.
No, what about the lights? Real quick.
Okay, the lights. A completely different phenomenon that happened up there when I was 10 years old. It was me, my father, my uncle, and my brother. Completely different than anything with the Sasquatch. But there is some kind of connection. There's no way these two things can happen at the same time. It's too big of a coincidence. There's something there. We went to bed at night. It was a situation where earlier I was very apprehensive. I was very scared, and shamefully, I even broke into tears. I was just scared, and I couldn't tell you why. Yeah, I was just scared. And my dad, I was embarrassed. My dad was hugging me. He's like, "It's okay, it's okay." But then I later find out as an adult that they were all a little apprehensive about what was going on, but they couldn't really put a tail on what was going on. Well, light started coming into camp that night. Something happened that woke us up. My brother was outside. He was outside relieving himself in the middle of the night, and he said, "Hey, somebody got a flashlight going on in there?" And nobody had a flashlight going on there. A light came on inside the shelter.
Inside
the shelter. We all wake up. They're going outside the shelter. They're looking at their watches. They're looking at the trees. They're trying to get flashlights back and forth. Lights were going off up on top of the tree line. Lights were coming off in camp. Sometimes they would shine on one person. Sometimes they'd brighten up the entire area. My father took me by the hand and said, "Come on, come into the shelter." And I came out of the shelter, and the light followed us around the shelter, and then right on us, like about 4 feet level, went off, afterglow, and dissipated. The only thing that I can say about this is where all the Sasquatch experience had an element of, until later in the years, element of fear or animalistic, there was a calming sensation with this. There was nothing about it that was fearful. There was no sound. There was no hum, no helicopter, no... There was nothing to it. We didn't know if it was static electricity. We didn't know if it was, you know, an alien intelligence. We didn't know what it was. And to this date, we don't know what it is. We all have our thoughts and possibilities of what it might be. But how did these two things happen in the same camp and not have some kind of relation? Hmm. There's something there. So it's expanded me into the possibility of other things. Why are these creatures so elusive? So many times we've looked into their tracks. We follow their tracks, and their tracks just disappear. even in snow, what is this all about?
They just stop.
Yeah, the story I told you earlier about how is it a situation where the guys don't jump out of the cabin, but they still split.
Right.
They still leave. So I believe that there's something developed inside them, maybe inherently, as they're born with. Maybe like a chameleon can change their color. They have an ability to do something, whether it's a low subsonic frequency that they can kick out and emit a fear where you just don't want to go any farther.
Like a dog senses.
A dog senses, things like that. Well, you can also not want to go any farther if you're in a room with a lot of subsonic frequency. So it's a situation where they might be able to do something like that, or it might be something more.
Well, because if the tracks just stop, and these are not, well, it doesn't matter what kind of tracks they are. If they stop, then something's going on.
Yeah, something's going on. So you ask yourself, where did it disappear? Is this, now you get into the realm of okay, where is this going? It could be interdimensional. It could be do they just back up in their tracks? We don't know.
Well,
you know, we don't know. I do believe that there's something to them in relation to the possibility of a, in ancient times, they show a lot in the ancients where they talk about a pineal gland. And the pineal gland, and there's a lot of reference to a young pine cone. You'll see it all over Egyptian hieroglyphs. You'll see the Eye of Horus and all this stuff. Turns into a situation where I believe that they have an extra developed sense or something that might be related to their pineal structure, that they can emit something, or maybe they're there, but like on a different frequency, like right now we're on this radio station, but there's another one playing, we just can't hear it.
Right.
Maybe they have the capability of doing something, but we just don't see it.
Wow. You know what? I feel like you can develop a whole book or something on that. I've never heard it talked about like that, and I wish we could talk more about it. But I'm glad that we opened up this conversation.
I think we did it in a kind and gentle way.
Thank you for coming up and being on the show with us.
Yeah, I mean, we could go on all night.
I know we could. Yeah. We have.
Yeah.
I know. How do you think I know all this stuff and love it? So David Alan Johnson, A-L-A-N, David Alan Johnson, you can find him on Facebook and maybe before long all kinds of other places. But in the meantime, you can always watch this show again and you can hear the sounds and share it with your friends. I have a feeling this is going to be topic of conversation for a lot of people. You heard it first here on Life Changes with Filippo. We'll be right back with our producer, Jeff, and Mark Leger right after this.
Are you achieving your highest potential? Do you know what that looks like? Louise Ashby Life Coaching makes it a mission to bring balance and abundance to every area of your life, giving you the opportunity to do and be all that you've dreamed. Anything is possible if you just believe. Contact author and motivational speaker Louise Ashby for your complimentary session and see if her individualized style is for you. You can email Louise at louiseashby.org. That's LOUISEASHBY.org or telephone 323-592-3181. That's Louise at louiseashby.org or telephone 323-592-3181. Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
Man. This is a conversation I can have I have had with David for hours and listen to these tapes. And I just wish we could play more of it because it's fascinating.
I wish we'd, that the mainstream media or a lot of the shows that are developed would take a more serious tact approach to having these discussions. Because that's why I'm really glad that the tail end of it, the pineal gland discussion came up, because I think we're just now waking up to the realities of what we are, what tools we have, how we really interact from with each other in the environment from a frequency standpoint.
Mm.
And therefore then how communication happens on an instinctual level, you know, that, you know, these coincidences, the paranormal, paranormal experiences where the ESP and things of that nature, you know, there's so much more happening. And before it was always written off as coincidence. But beyond that, I think the other interesting thing is that we were never really taught about it. You know, the first gland to develop, it just happens to be in the center of your brain. It just happens to get the most and the richest oxygen-rich blood. You know, and there's all sorts of other things. It happens to look like an eye. It happens to move and function like an eye.
And like David said, it's everywhere. It's at the Vatican, all over the place. It's everywhere. So somebody knows something.
Yeah.
Or somebody used to know something.
All ancient art and a lot of the old religious artifacts, right? There's the symbology is embedded everywhere. So either it's just worship of the pine cone, or maybe there's more.
Yeah. Worship of the pine cone. So, you know, and it's interesting, as we were talking during the break with David, he was saying, you know, here's a guy, he's very special, but he's a regular guy. I mean, it's not like he studied this stuff. It's like he was there experiencing it, feeling it. And then he started doing some studying as well. But the experience he had, he was saying how it gives him, he has a sense that what they could do, we could do too. So, you know, I don't know if that's like go interdimensionally or exactly, because obviously this is a theory he's exploring. And like I said, people go to Facebook and look up David Alan Johnson and talk with him if you have any ideas around this, because it's something I've never really explored or thought about myself, because I haven't heard it on the mainstream media.
Well, we've talked about this kind of thing on this show, though. You know, everything is atoms, right? Everything is made up as atoms. Atoms are energy, you know, and space. And therefore, you know, and it's all a reflection of collective, you know, thought form. So anything is possible. So I would say, yeah, I'm sure it's that we have that ability. We're just now learning, you know, in terms of quantum mechanics, we're starting to validate a lot of, you know, these types of discussions. We're just beginning to understand. And then you go into a lot of the lore and the myths and the questions around places like, the Bermuda Triangle and things like that. You know, that is said to be dimensional travel, right? The coming and goings of craft and airplanes and things like that. And then you have, you know, well-documented situations like the Philadelphia experiment and a lot of what we've done in terms of moving objects around. And then the technology just happened to disappear. And I mean, so
there's
a lot
stuff
more
we
that
don't
all
know.
Points in this direction.
Yeah.
So, yeah, under that umbrella of we don't know, I think it's all possible.
Love the spam. But evidently, Sasquatch, that's what we learned today. Sasquatch does not like spam. Or evidently, no, he did. But the first time he ate it, upset his stomach. Remember?
I think we just found our Sasquatch.
And with that, a big thank you again to our friend David Alan Johnson. And thank you, Mark, funny man that you are. I want to thank Dorothy Donahue, our producer, and, of course, all the folks here at the Joint Studios. Happy to be here. I am Filippo, reminding you that as your life changes, and evidently mine too, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.